The first reading today, we hear about this great priest, one who, it says, in his days was found just. He pleased God, and in the time of wrath, he was made a reconciliation. Mention this here because of just the importance of the priesthood. Some perhaps we just kind of take it for granted. Got some of these people who don't think that we need priests. We have lots of people who are not Catholic who don't think that we need priests. We got rid of them, and they even talk about the practice of what they call priestcraft, as though this is somehow equal to witchcraft. This is obviously, it's something that is not able to be comprehended because what we're dealing with has to do with the divine mysteries. And because of that, they can't grasp it. And they think that it is doing something that's wrong, when in fact, it is divine. It is God who has established a priesthood. And the priesthood that our Lord has is different from the one that we hear about in the first reading. That was the priesthood of Aaron and all the things that the Jewish priests had to do. But we recall that there was a priesthood that was prior to that of Aaron, a priesthood that was actually held by all of the Jewish men. And they lost that priesthood in their disobedience when they turned against God. God established a new priesthood with a new covenant when he made Aaron a priest. He was to offer the sacrifices of bulls and goats and various things. But there was the promise that God was going to reestablish the original priesthood. We hear it in the 110th Psalm when the Lord, speaking about the Messiah, said, "You are a priest forever, according to the order of Melchizedek." Now, there had not been a priest in the order of Melchizedek for literally a couple thousand years, thousands actually, when our Lord came. And that priesthood was reestablished in Jesus. We recall that what was offered by Melchizedek was bread and wine. We see that with our blessed Lord, but taking the bread and wine, obviously, to an entirely new level as it becomes his own body and blood in his own person. This is something that is available to us only through the priesthood of Jesus Christ. There is no other way that this can happen. And so somebody can sit around and drink some grape juice and eat some crackers and tell a story, but they got grape juice and crackers. They didn't get Jesus. So the priesthood is a necessity when we look at it that way. There is only one way under normal circumstances to have our sins forgiven. That is in the confessional, because our Lord gave that authority to his apostles. And it's been passed down now, and so only someone who is a priest is able to literally remove the souls or the sins from our soul. Not that the priest has any power of himself to do that, any more than he has power of himself to change bread and wine into the Lord. It is God working through the priest to be able to do this. Now, all that is just preface for the point that is made in the first reading. It says, number one, again, he was found just, which is to be righteous. This is a priest who is holy, someone who is truly seeking to do the will of God. And it says that in the time of wrath, he was made a reconciliation. The primary task of the priest is mediation. The priest is a mediator between God and the people to be able to intercede. Remember on Ash Wednesday, we hear from the book of the prophet Joel, and God calls through the prophet Joel for the priests to stand between the porch and to call out to the Lord so that mercy will be brought to the people. That's the task of the priest. And he has made a reconciliation in the time of God's wrath. We can see that most perfectly, obviously, in Jesus, who is our high priest. He is our reconciliation. He is the victim who is offered himself for us, literally standing between God and us. And he is the one who is able to do this. But every priest now who is ordained has a priesthood of Jesus Christ. There is only one priesthood in the New Testament, and that is the priesthood of our blessed Lord. And so no priest, whether that is the Pope or a cardinal or a bishop or the priest that just got ordained yesterday, there is only one priesthood, and they all participate in the same priesthood and the same sacrifice. There is no difference in the sacrifice that is offered, whether you go to a papal mass or whether you go to a mass of a priest who's in the state of mortal sin. The sacrifice that's offered is still the same one. But the difference, however, comes to that point of the righteousness. If a priest is righteous, then as he offers that sacrifice and his own prayers and offers himself, quite honestly, in sacrifice, that is a sacrifice pleasing to the Lord. If a priest is not righteous, if he's in the state of mortal sin, it's a sacrilege when he offers Mass. It's still a valid Mass, but it is a sacrilege. And while the sacrifice of Jesus is certainly pleasing to the Lord, the sacrifice of that priest is certainly not. And then you have everything in between, the mediocre ones, the ones who are just kind of there, the ones who are sort of on fire a little bit, maybe, depends on the day, which way the wind is blowing. But then you have the ones that really have a deep prayer life, the ones who truly want to serve our blessed Lord. Those are the ones who, when the times come, and it is very difficult, they are the ones who are going to intercede. They are the ones who are going to mediate on behalf of the people. And while as I have told you many times over, the things that are coming, it is going to be the time of the laity. And the laity are the ones who are going to save the church ultimately, because they're the ones who are going to remain faithful. But the lay people cannot do this alone. We need some good bishops. We need some good priests. And so that's going to be a necessity. The priests need to be praying for you. You need to be praying for the priests, because the priests are the ones who are going to have to stand between God and the people to bring the mercy of God to the people and to bring the repentance of the people to God. The priests are the ones who are going to have to intervene, not only in bringing the sacraments to the people of God, but to be able to be the ones who, like Moses, as it says, stood in the breach to turn away the wrath of God from the people. So we have to have good priests. And remember that the priest, being a shepherd, walks in front of the flock. If you've got a priest who is truly seeking union with Jesus, then that's where he's going to lead you. If you have a priest who is seeking union with whatever sports team at whatever arena, that's where he's going to lead you. If you have a priest who's more interested in movies, that's where he's going to lead you. So Father Groovy might be fun. He might be exciting. He might be the one who tells you what you want to hear. And when push comes to shove, that's not the one you want to follow. Isn't it going to be wonderful on the day of judgment when we go to watch a football game instead of going to Jesus? Yeah, that's not going to sit so well. But it was sure fun, wasn't it? Yeah, we need to choose what we want. And we need to pray that we'll have somebody, a bishop, or few of them anyway, I hope, and a handful of priests who are actually striving for righteousness. Priests who actually love our blessed Lord so much and loved the people that were entrusted to his care, that he would lay down his life for them, that he will seek only what is the best for them, which is to lead them to our blessed Lord. If he doesn't want to go to our Lord, he's not going to lead the people there. So we need to have somebody who has that kind of desire, who has that focus, the one who, it says, was found to be just or righteous. Those are the ones, when time comes and push comes to shove, we're going to need, we're going to be dependent on. It is a necessity. So just know that if there is a righteous priest around somewhere, he's praying for you. Please pray for him too, so that he will remain righteous, so that he will grow in holiness, so that he will be the saint that God is calling him to be, so that he can lead you along that same path, so that you can follow where he's going to lead, because he's following the Good Shepherd. And if he's following the Good Shepherd, then you can follow him and you don't have anything to worry about. Sadly, it's not all that often that we find a priest who's willing to do that. So you need to pray that God will reveal whoever it is, that he will show you the way to that particular priest, the one who's closest to where you are, whatever it may be, so that you will be able to know that you are safe in the flock of our Lord. So pray for that person, because you can count on the fact that the fight against him, the warfare against him, is going to be pretty strong. Think what Moses had to deal with, the entire people of Israel, and there was one man who was willing to stand in the breach for all of them. The devil wasn't too amused, and you can only imagine what Moses had to endure. The popes have had to deal with that to a great degree, a bishop in his diocese, a priest in his parish. But where we're headed, there may not be dioceses and parishes the way we're used to thinking of them. We're going to need some holy bishops, going to need some holy priests. However that is all going to work out is entirely up to God. But what is going to be necessary are holy people and holy priests.